Speaking to the Young Men's Christian Association, he told the audience that public servants should be guided solely by the question, "What would Christ do in your situation?" He then proceeded to explain, "There's a mighty task before us, and it welds us together. It is to make the United States a mighty Christian nation and to Christianize the world." The war only served to intensify these impulses. The past and the present are in deadly grapple, he declared. His goal was the complete destruction of every arbitrary power anywhere that can disturb the peace of the world and the settlement of every question facing mankind. Wilson advocated force, force to the utmost, force without stint or limit. "The righteous and triumphant force which shall make right the law of the world and cast every selfish dominion down in the dust." America was an instrument in the hands of God, he proclaimed, while his propaganda ministry called World War I a war to re-win the tomb of Christ. Wilson shared with other fascist leaders a firm conviction that his organic connection with the people was absolute and transcended the mere mechanics of democracy. "So sincerely do I believe these things that I am sure that I speak the mind and wish of the people of America. Many Europeans recognized him as an avatar of the rising socialist world spirit." In 1919, a young Italian socialist proclaimed, "Wilson's empire has no borders because he does not govern territories. Rather, he interprets the needs, the hopes, the faith of the human spirit, which has no spatial or temporal limits." The young man's name was Benito Mussolini. That Wilson's government intruded deeply into the private sector in unprecedented ways is indisputable. It launched the effort, carried forward by FDR, of turning the economy into a cooperative enterprise where labor, business, and government sat around a table and hashed things out on their own. Such a system, they called it syndicalism, corporatism, and fascism in Europe, sounds attractive on paper, but inevitably it serves to benefit the people inside the room and few others. When Wilson's dollar-a-year men weren't rewarding their respective industries, they were subjecting more of the private sector to government control. Wilson's planners set prices on almost every commodity, fixed wages, commandeered the private railroads, created a vast machinery for the policing of thought crimes, and even tried to dictate the menu of every family meal. Wilson's war on socialism was temporary, but its legacy was permanent. The war industry's board and cartels closed shop after the war, but the precedent they set would prove too attractive for progressives to abandon. While America was the victor in World War I, Wilson and the progressives lost their war at home. The government's deep penetration into civil society seemed forgivable during a war, but was unacceptable during peace.